When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Introducing the greatest animated series you've never seen, Lightning Dogs. These canine commandos are lost on a post-apocalyptic Earth and battling the forces of the evil Glampire. It's a tribute to the cartoons and sci-fi of the 80s and 90s, and Nerdy Show is hell-bent on bringing it to life.
Blocks sold separately.
Join us as we document our quest from the moment lightning struck to every world-building session and beyond, and make our crazy dream a reality. Roll with the pack at lightningdogs.com.
The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. It contains content that might not be suitable for all ages, so listener discretion is advised. All Nerdy Show podcasts are made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. Discover the many ways you can join in at nerdyshow.com.
Hey, party, how are we doing tonight?
Doug, is that you?
Yes.
Doug's here.
I haven't seen you in...
Since the last Doug watch?
Yeah.
Can you give us like some solid updates about where you've been? Can you throw us any hints?
Your goatee looks amazing.
Well, he's been nude on the moon.
Been work, I guess.
How's that sex cult going?
The what?
The sex cult.
Is this more Doug watch crap?
There's so much Doug watch crap.
This is exactly what we're talking about, is Doug watch.
I listened to the episodes I've gone on, and I don't hear any Doug watch updates.
Yeah, well, you're not a patron,
it's
Doug.
We're shaming you. Gotcha.
There's lore.
I hear that patron shaming actually increases pledges, so that's good.
I pledge allegiance. I pledge.
Pledge to me.
Pledge to me.
We just want to know, like, how last time. Was it Tangiers you were last spotted before came here?
No. That was two times ago. Last time it was the moon, I think.
That's why he was nude.
On the moon.
I need to erase this.
I'd gotten word that you were in Peru at one time. Is that true?
No.
I was at work.
Regardless.
So where do we last leave off?
All right. The last we left off, you slayed the flesh beast. A creature.
The flesh shaper. Oh, yeah. No, it was. Yeah, but it was the flesh shaper, but he was actually the flesh beast.
Yes.
The flesh shaper begot the flesh beast.
He completed a ritual and became something not natural.
Oh, and we searched the room and we picked up the book and we found a disturbing chapter.
Yes.
So Frixa has the book.
And I'm perched on the table looking over your shoulder. What do we see?
You just perch on my shoulder.
But I'm not going to, though. It's a little too familiar for the two of us.
We'll get there.
Will we, though?
In the Flesh Shaper's Tome, the last entry, you see it is a creature that is... Its base creation was a Pawa, but it seems like 20 to 25 things have been added to him.
Too many things.
Casters of all types, racial bits spliced into him, and creatures that were already chimeras to begin with have been spliced into this thing. It's his masterwork. But it appears that he went too far.
Like he wrote off the page?
Yes, exactly. He wrote off the margins are just full of scribbles.
Now, prior, this fellow mentioned that he had an apprentice, and it was heavily implied that that apprentice enslaved him. Is there any reason to believe that perhaps that apprentice was somehow a Pawa and somehow is this thing?
You know that Pawas, on a base level, can't cast body magic. And the whole point of this seems to be to make a Pawa capable of casting magic.
Gross. Those filthy little creatures. Gremlins.
So, I would hazard to guess that the large chamber with the that had the, you know, substantially ominous scuff marks is where this fellow's located, and we're going to have the nastiest fight we've had all day.
If I remember correctly, it was the scuff marks were probably a Pawa barracks, and then this creature would be in the badger room.
That's what I mean. There's some large scuff marks.
Oh, very true. I think I mistook her meaning.
Do you think we should check out the barracks before we go in after...
Well, the barracks was just a theory.
Yes.
Yes, but I would like to be fighting a giant power monster with no one at my back than maybe 20 powers at my back.
It's true.
Must we fight a giant power creature? At what point do we just notify the army?
Grandin, I must ask, are your loins not stirred by the possibility of fighting a giant monster power?
No.
No.
Can't say that I am.
An important question that we should all be asking ourselves is, have we done enough? Was this individual whom we killed right now, was this the notorious flesh shaper, or is his apprentice the notorious flesh shaper? This individual was experimenting on Ned's arm, and what does that even mean? Should we go back and talk to Ned about it?
It also seems he needed to escape, and if we had not arrived when we did, he would have just escaped without us.
We might as well double back and talk to Ned, I feel.
I agree. Ugh.
Would you grab the body, though?
Have we done our jobs, is my question.
I don't think so. And this is why. We are to investigate and stop the cause of the disappearances that have happened in these woods.
Was it to stop the cause? If the cause was an invading army, surely we wouldn't be expected to do so.
I don't think... I think an invading army, they would have known. They would have seen the signs, and there were no signs. This was mysterious. So they thought it was some kind of bandit.
Maybe we've got a good situation here, though. Maybe if the flesh shaper in charge now is a hulking monstrosity power who's risen above its station, then surely the army can come in, either of them, and deal with it. And whereas we've taken care of his master, who it still seemingly has required to do any of this magic to begin with. I don't know.
We've found the source of the trouble on this road.
Consider this. We've come out of this relatively no worse for the wear. Right, Chuki? And then it drops a golden flare and heals Chuki to full.
Very well. Back to 20 from 15.
On top of that, not only have we discovered this is more than some bandit that has waylaid these travelers, we have the body of a true criminal. There has to be some kind of bounty.
I agree, which is why I highly suggest that we take this bounty-worthy body and skedaddle.
I think that's a good idea. I believe it's, at the moment, premature. Because there is another bounty-worthy body deep in here.
Well, our deaths could also be premature, Frixa.
And he closes the book with a slam. As well as this, what do you think those Akhenotians who despise these flesh shapers as much as anyone would pay to have the hidden knowledge and destroy it?
Well, if they destroy it, then we're all right. If they hide it away and weaponize it in secret, then we've all got problems.
Have
we?
I merely wish to point out that we have the body of a criminal, a known element that was preying upon the countryside, was preying upon the road. You quite literally have the book in hand. Does killing this giant monster add a substantial or worthy amount to the war that we've already accumulated to satisfy our needs?
The better question is, can we afford to ignore it? Because I think we can flee if this is too much.
I think unless something stops us from leaving, we are much better off leaving with evidence and intelligence and contacting the army and bringing Ned with us and raining hellfire down on this place once we come back, than simply fighting a monster because we know there's a monster to be fought. It's a power. What on earth could it have that's of any value?
I hate to keep bringing this up, but I don't want... And this is a sore spot, I know, for us as a group. But I don't want to get scooped again. Last time, somebody else getting a whiff of what we were up to resulted in Agnes's death. If they want to cover up this mess here, they'll do it by bringing us with them. If we arrive in style with all of the evidence, it'll be hard to shut us up. Also, I think I've changed my opinion about Ned.
Oh, and to what?
I think everything he's said so far about what we just encountered is true.
Was this his daddy?
I don't know. However, I think he would be an excellent asset in what is coming next.
Well, should we take his arm off this creature's body?
You think we could just put it on him like a glove?
You said doesn't the book suggest that he could regrow that arm anyway?
Let's learn to flesh shape.
that's the campaign now. Four weirdos learn to flesh shape.
Please do not make that the campaign.
Ned, we need your arm.
Did we get the impression that Ned knows everything he can do?
I really don't know. He seemed awfully confident.
I was going to say, maybe we could use the book to bribe him. If you could see a thing that everything you could do, wouldn't you want to read that book?
It seemed like he had a rough idea, but maybe not a whole idea.
He didn't claim to have a very high opinion of everyone involved in this this compound.
He seems to like us. We could hide that book, tell him we've read it, we know what he's made of, and we'll share the information with him.
He also claimed
when
to
this
be,
is over.
He claimed to be quite weakened.
Say we go kill that monster with Ned.
At the very least, if we get out to that main channel, that crossroads, and there's nothing there, Looming be like, oh, well, you thought you were getting out of this. You know, if that doesn't happen, we can at least double back to Ned. What do you got for us?
Come with us or we'll kill Champ.
We're not killing Champ.
That'd
Come
be
on,
quite a bluff.
Lish.
I mean, I'll kill him.
He's a good Dillo.
Yeah, but Ned might like him.
I like him.
I like him.
Yeah, but I'm not trying to blackmail you two.
In his head, Frix is thinking about how to sell the clearing of this area to the group, because the wing mob needs press, in a way.
This is a black ops mission. We're not getting press.
It was a black ops mission for Ned, and our guys are spooky. I'll do this in character. We need a fair share of good press, because our opponents have much bigger advertisement networks than we do. They have whole departments dedicated to this. Presumably, we can complete this mission, take everything we want from here without telling them where it is or what was in it, and then return to Akinosh with the bodies, the book, everything, and act as though we did it on our own.
We won't need to act as if we did it on our own, because we did it on our own.
Well, unprompted, we will be heroes, and everyone will clamor for the wing mob.
I see what you're saying. So we have, let's say we have this wagon, we say we don't kill Champ. He pulls the wagon with giant spider legs hanging out, Goliath heads, and we come in and say, hey, we're the wing mob, we done all this for you, good people.
We found a flesh shaper, yes. Hmm? We put the bodies in the wagon.
I don't know, they're saying just they'll see the monster bodies and
unveil it in public.
I'm thinking wing mob museum.
Yes.
I like this idea, we bring back everything we kill.
Very pungent museum you're proposing. Either way, someone grab these legs and let's get it back to Ned.
Do we want to question Ned is the question.
I think we've questioned him as much as he knows. He seems relatively stupid.
Mm-hmm. He's going to want to know and maybe can offer us some perspective on how dangerous a power apprentice that's been risen above its station truly is.
Maybe we just bring him down.
I do want to do two things before you guys leave.
Do him.
One, didn't give momentum for the end of that combat.
Okay.
That is 5 momentum for everybody.
Whee!
All right.
38 momentum.
And I want to give special +1 momentum for Chuki for being incredibly effective in the last combat.
And probably Slish, too.
I refuse.
Oh, did my arrows do well? I don't remember.
They did. They did very well. Fine. +1 for Slish as well. And also, the body that the flesh beast was is fast becoming soup.
Oh,
it is turning
piss.
Into just sludge. The stuff that you see hanging around the walls and slumped into corners, it's becoming that. About an inch and a half thick of just...
Oh, can we cut off his head or something?
All of it's gone, with the exception of the centipede. And also you see a glint of gold in the sludge.
Ugh. All right. Are there gloves or fabric or something?
There are rags laying about the alchemy.
Slith just reaches in and grabs the gold.
All right. Oh, good for you.
Shakes it.
It's a ring with an amber setting.
Oh, put on the ring. See what happens.
Dibs.
Is that magical in any way, Slish? Do be careful.
Inevitably.
Can I roll to see if I feel anything weird about it?
Yeah, you can.
All right.
Intellect.
In that case, 12.
12. You know it's magic. It's magic.
Uh-oh, it's magic.
You know. You can't tell to what extent, but you know what magic feels like. This feels like magic.
I really don't know fuck all about magic, and this thing seems to be magic. Do you, anybody else
toss
want
me the ring?
Okay. Slish hands the ring.
I roll a 19.
You know what this is.
Tell me what it is.
It's a ring of plus one composure.
Ooh.
I really need that because I've got no composure.
Well.
Ill composed.
Plus one composure, Slish. I'm going to shove this on your plump little finger.
Unless anybody else could better utilize
Oh, you called dibs. Those are the rules of Wing Mob.
Apparently. Minus 50 DKP.
Oh, look, a top hat. Dibs. Yeah, fuck.
I like dibs.
So here's a concern. So Phryxa uses composure to shield people and as bonus healing and damage. But everything Chuki does, but I'm also like hitting people with a spear and stuff like that. But everything Chuki does uses composure. So I think probably Chuki. I don't think we're lacking for healing or shielding.
I'll take it. I mean, it'll look nice, at the very least.
It matches your eyes.
I think the amber will clash with my fur, so Chuki?
Well, thank you very much, Slish. I appreciate it. And I slide it onto my weird birdie finger.
I want to say
you feel more composed.
Woo! The hot
root you put in the soup is really worth that ring.
I wedge out one of the peppers out of the Goliath nose and toss it over to Slish.
Slish eats the hot pepper and he's quite happy.
It's boogery.
It's boogery.
Did I fucking stutter?
Yeah.
What kind of bonus am I looking momentum. At?
Plus one to composure. That will change your composure total and your damage bonuses on, all, I think, all your spells.
So I suppose we're off to investigate the room across the hall.
I think we need to go talk to Ned.
You said we didn't have to. He told us everything he knows.
I want to set him
is
free.
Is there like a burlap sack I could put the centipede in?
I'll just...
Feed it to Slish.
I'll keep
we
it in my...
We need it. It's the bounty, maybe.
My backpack is relatively empty. Can I, like, fold up the centipede or roll it
yeah,
up into a
it's,
ball?
Yeah, it's big and heavy, but it fits in.
All right. Frix is just going to stuff it into his backpack. I was like, yuck. All right.
Could be a sleeping bag or something.
It reminds me of a cousin of mine.
It does not.
Of the big bug in the ground, maybe?
Is it a tiny... I am much bigger than this bug.
It's like a tiny version of the big bug in the ground.
No one's ever seen him. We feel its presence.
You guys have the driver's seat. Go.
So we going back to Ned?
Yeah, let's go back. We leave this room to head to the crossway and then head north back to the room where Ned is, where the trainer was and all the all cells. Right. Covered in gore.
Ned is just sitting in his cell waiting to die.
Frixa pulls the centipede out of his backpack.
Is it your dad?
Oh, man, gross. What is that, man? Oh, that shit smells like bad.
There was a guff man, and he had your arm, and then he put his arm in your arm, and then he started attacking us. So then we killed him, and then he turned into his dead body with spider's legs, and then attacked us again.
Are you drunk?
That's what happened.
I wish.
And then he was chained to an alchemy table, and when we slew him, this creature popped out, and he was the only thing not rendered into muck
by its
death.
Yeah, that happens when you, like, kill things that shouldn't exist. They just kind of, they degrade real fast.
Was your dad a guff?
He's a lot of things.
But he's not very obviously a guff.
Well, he was the last time I saw him, and he ripped my arm off. But he's changed his face a couple of times.
Well, then, condolences. Your dad's dead.
And he's not my dad. Saying dad is kind of weird. Like
this is your language, sir.
I'm just saying,
father. Your
yeah. I mean, that's how I. It's
does this belong to him? I hold up my ring.
I haven't seen that. I don't know what that is. Spoils of war, baby. Anyway,
we've got a tome here. A grimoire.
Yeah.
Have a looky-loo. It's got it's the Ned instruction book. It is.
I don't know if I want to see that, really, honestly.
Don't you want to know all your special powers, Neddy Poo?
It's also sort of like looking at a receipt for your person.
It's like watching your parents fuck.
Yeah, it's odd. I don't like it.
Oh.
In fact, if you could burn that, I'd be much obliged.
Well, we certainly may. However, Fish.
It does give us some certain words and actions that we could say that would be, I think, quite a hindrance to you.
I mean, okay.
You know, you should do what we say.
I would like you to roll bluff, please.
What do you want him to do? You wouldn't even tell him what you wanted yet.
Intimidate, in fact, I think is the better okay. word for this.
And what's that rolling off of?
Composure.
Again? Composure. Oh, I ain't got no composure.
Hey, what about rolling that 20s off?
What about bargain?
Chucky takes off the ring.
This is you are not making a deal. You are intimidating.
Nothing. Seven.
He's like, all right, fella who doesn't know magic. Yeah, I'm real scared.
Ned, here's a situation. Perhaps you can offer a little bit of clarity. You're not father.
Is it less weird if we call him Papi? It's a different language.
I mean, sorta.
Turns out he was enslaved by a power who he gave the ability to practice the dark arts, who's now some kind of hulking monstrosity of which there's 7 pages of detailed information on the kind of horror that he wrought.
Do you have a younger brother who might be like a black sheep of the family?
No.
Well, imagine you have a younger brother who's a black sheep of the family, and it turns out he's a little grubby goblin and might probably wants to kill you.
What are you getting at, Ned?
But he was still the golden child, right?
Yeah, I mean...
Ned, who hurt you so bad in here?
Oh, that was Doman. You killed him, though, so that's fine.
Okay.
In your professional opinion, Ned...
Yeah?
Have we done our job, and should we leave, or should we kill the monstrosity power?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't leave that thing alive by any means. That sounds super dangerous, right?
Are you in fighting condition, Ned?
No, I only have one hand.
Well, I mean, it's rather dark in that cell, and I couldn't see if it had regrown yet.
It's scaling over, and it stopped bleeding.
Well, then, Ned... You sit back, and we'll go attempt to kill that power behemoth.
You comfortable in there, Ned?
On a scale of 1 to 10, how sad would you be if Champ was dead?
7.
Like, real sad?
Yeah, like, but not so sad as if, like, a million people died unnecessarily in a war that I felt I could have prevented.
Okay.
Well, okay, so we have this book.
Yes.
Can I infer... Its size, would it be able to follow us down the hallway to the power barracks?
You can't infer its size because it's more like a recipe book. So you know how much went...
Well, then can Chucky infer its size?
You knew, yeah. You know how much went into making it? You know how many eggs were involved? And it's a lot of eggs, but you're not sure which parts were fully used. You just it's a list of ingredients. Okay.
I'd like to make it, I don't know what I'd, like intuition, like do I think it would be able to follow into the barracks? My guess is maybe not, and if not, then that prioritizes the barracks.
I think we go to the barracks, we barricade the door so nobody can get out, and then we move on.
So that's 11.
You definitely know it's at least four times the size.
Okay, so I...
You don't have an upper limit, but you have a lower limit.
So Frix is going to make a guess, and he'll say compatriots, employees... Wingmob, I get the impression that this monstrosity might have a difficult time getting down the hallway to the barracks, which means that if we are going to go down there and fight it, we should probably start by clearing out the barracks so that they can't come in behind us.
Again, just a theory that it's the barracks. Reasonable theory, but just a theory.
Just a theory, yes.
Well, I think we should go look in there just to make sure.
We're not the stealthiest group.
Well, I meant by looking there, I meant go in there and kill basically whatever's in there.
I think we barricade the door. I think we jam a little bit of wood in there. They can't get out. No skin off our nose. We go and we investigate the actual problem here without jeopardizing our lives again needlessly.
That's not a bad idea. Do we get the impression that these are the kind of doors that can be barricaded?
No, they open inwardly.
Duh.
Are there enough implements in the alchemist's laboratory that I could create some kind of explosives or something that we could throw into the door as like a...
Give me an alchemy check.
That's a great idea.
Oh, shit. Which one did I roll?
You rolled the one in the middle.
Okay.
Yeah.
13 plus 3, 16.
No, it's your profession.
So you...
Okay, 13 plus 3 plus 5.
18.
Now roll again.
18.
Five.
Yeah. All right.
You can make a single flask of Mage's assistant, which is an explosive.
Well, I certainly will.
You quickly whip it up. The difficulty is knowing how to make it, not in performing it. It's actually quite simple.
Perfect.
It's the kind of thing that would make Agnes proud. Hmm. Other than returning her body to her home water, which we have neglected to do.
Well, march up to the door.
Also, plus one momentum for thinking spherically and crafting a potion.
Grendon, do you think you can toss this thing through there?
What, the potion?
Oh, yes.
Of course.
How do we feel about that, Chuki?
Well, what stat goes into throwing?
Probably dexterity.
This isn't like a frag grenade, though. This is like, it's not going to clear a whole room. You are aware of that.
Like a frag grenade, you can throw it and it does damage? Okay.
And the doors go inward.
The doors go inward.
Beautiful.
So you're going to not know a thing, open a door, and throw an explosive in.
Well, if I'm the one throwing, I'm not going to throw it unless I see something worth throwing at.
Okay.
Okay, here's my plan. If we don't need Granite to throw it, I'll just throw it. It's what I do. Pop in the door, see what's there. If it's in fact a pack of powers, throw it at him, and then we do the rest.
I like that idea.
Yeah.
Man in the hat.
My only worry, Juki, is your safety in this scenario. Would it?
Well, I have the element of the surprise.
Sure, but is it any benefit to have you do it versus Grandin? I mean, he could soak
I
up.
Suppose not, if there's no actual statistical difference here.
It wouldn't be, no.
It would be dexterity.
Yeah, it's the same.
Three? Got three. We got three. All right. Grendon. Here you are.
Grendon will take
it.
And then we're going to line up at the door?
Yep. Well, Frix is behind Grendon, for sure. Two spears.
I'll be in the rear.
In the book, did it say the name of what the beast is, the giant poa thing? Does it have a name?
Is there a designation at all?
No, but there were other books lying around.
That we should have checked and didn't.
That is his room.
Well, it had his bed in it, so...
Yeah. Well, it's gone now. Fuck it. Let's go dive to fucking look through that shit. We do it after this, maybe.
Okay. All right.
So, Grendon, I guess with everyone behind him, Grendon will be holding this flask.
All right.
Does it look like a drinking flask?
It looks like a graduated cylinder that is topped with a layer of leather and then kind of bound.
Okay. Grendon will kind of hold that in his shield hand and will... Just sort of give a gentle push, open the door, just right. not to make much noise, but if anyone, just not inconspicuous, just...
All right, you open it. Give me a perception check.
What, is that using composure or intelligence?
Let's go intelligence.
18?
18. You count exactly 17 Pawa. 10 of them are children. 6 of them are very obviously female, and one of them is an old and weazened male.
Hurl it at the old one. No,
do it.
No.
Let's go full Goblin Slayer.
Yeah. No, I don't.
I protest. Are we not? You chuck that grenade. These are power.
The older females and the elder male both notice you open the door.
Mm-hmm.
Before you can do anything, the elder male screams out. Everyone seems to huddle in the back, and he wields a sledgehammer and kind of seems to put himself in between you and them.
Okay.
He's got a weapon. Should I shoot him?
Yes. Hold on. Because I got my hand on the door, right? And I got my shield, and I probably look like a badass because I'm taller than them and everything. If I just open the door and sort of like lean, like open the door and make a motion with my head of like, that way, get moving, go.
He just hisses at you.
All right. Then I'm going to look at Frixa and be like, well, Captain, your call.
And just no hesitation. Yes. Throw it.
Okay, he'll throw it.
All right.
Captain says so. I'm going to, if I'm, just aim for the guy with the hammer, I guess.
All right.
This is just my regular dex.
Yep.
19.
You hit.
Okay, what a roll for damage.
He just explodes.
He explodes?
He explodes, and you send pieces of him all over the place. You kill 3 bystanders, and they freak out. And they just start grabbing implements and coming for you. Because you are going to die.
I like that you call them bystanders. To us, they're just enemies.
All right, and then with that...
Well, I mean, a huddled together mass being protected by an old man. Yeah, that's not great.
These are abominations.
No,
these are just power, man.
Then I completely misunderstood you.
You said
the power had never been able to organize like this before.
They have not been able to organize this before.
They didn't have... Like, and all of a sudden now that they're able to, like, at least...
They were tribal, weren't they?
Much more organized than a usual band. Like, for instance, if you had, I don't know, a Vietnamese village, and then suddenly they seem to be armed and well supplied.
I mean... Not to put it in that historical context, but should we kill all these children?
We are a band of mercenaries.
I believe that as soon as we entered a tribal or like an indigenous setting with children and elderly, we became the Americans in the Vietnam conflict.
Sure.
Like that's,
we didn't have to chuck a grenade.
Yeah, granted, that was messed
well,
up.
But just like the Americans in the Vietnam conflict, a weird grasshopper man told you to.
Yeah. With the hat. Exactly.
Granted, I would like a strength check from you, because now five of them are coming up, and they're just
I was going to say, if they start moving, like, I throw a thing, it goes,
right
it goes kaboom,
yeah,
and as soon as they start moving, because I got my shield in there, I just go, all right, fuck it, and I just wade into it. I meet them.
All right.
9.
You just plow through them.
Okay.
They are not warriors by any stretch of the imagination.
All right. I'm not even angry. I'm just like, this is happening.
All right.
Now, perception-wise, as Grandin does this and knocks them over, do we get the feeling?
He's not knocking them over. He's crushing them.
Right. Okay. But
I'm not trying to stomp them. I'm just wading through them.
Yeah.
Just pushing.
So as he's doing that, we get the perception that any of these have any chance against us other than that old man.
Oh, no. Even the old man had no chance against you.
All right. Granted, this might be a waste of time, more than anything.
Should I not have thrown that grenade, Captain?
No, I think if anyone was going to threaten us, it would.
I'm sure that just like biting at my,
just like swatting them.
Yeah, like, having this conversation.
Uh-huh. They can't even get close to you.
Right. But
Slish has his sword out, and he's just like.
Basically, I'm saying I'm basically. This is like when I come to visit Josh's house, and the dogs jump on me. Is like,
They're coming up to you, and you just brush them off. Yeah.
For some reason, I don't feel very good about this.
Can Slish wade in, or is he not allowed?
You can do whatever you want.
I think you killed the only one worth killing.
But maybe we should search the room for clues or something.
Does it look like there's anything else in here other than just a hideout for the POA?
There are cots and cooking utensils, stashes of supplies, but it just seems to be very basic cloth and
Chucky's
food.
Old knife.
It wouldn't have beat you here.
Yeah, I mean, I did kind of make a motion like, all right, skedaddle, get out of here, move along, and they didn't do it. So,
because they were listening to that guy,
which guy,
the old man,
the old man.
Yeah,
I mean, well, now they're just gonna fight anybody who comes in. So I'm just being like, all right, and if Frixa says, you know, maybe this is a waste of time, Grandin will shrug and just go back the way he came, wade through them again if it comes to it.
Frixa makes a big show of like putting his spear away and like holding his hands up, be like,
it was a mistake,
and says, stay here. Do not come out until we say so. He doesn't speak Powa.
I don't think
they
understand.
Just huddle together now, terrified.
Ideal.
And if I turn around, there's nothing behind us, right?
Nope.
I don't think any part of that was ideal.
Nope. Terrible. Very terrible.
We confirmed that it's not a threat.
Very well. Behind door number 3.
If anything, Chuki, I think your bomb was the most efficient thing we've done.
Oh, good. I'm so glad we wasted it on killing elderly and children.
Me too.
Slish puts his sword away sullenly.
It's okay, Slish. I feel like you've really put in your work today. We get back to Rich's pub. I owe you a beer.
Oh, I really like that river beer they had. That was nice.
Ale of the Tim? Thim. Yeah. Ale of the Thim.
Going through the main door?
The badger.
So, can you tell us again what is on the arch of the southern of the two doors?
On the doorway, the first doorway is a badger gelt leading a group of 15 followers who seem very indistinct but are vaguely gelt.
Okay, sorry, I'm just getting a Stations kind of the Crossfire.
Yeah, well, they're kind of like a fresco.
Okay.
Done in Dairon on these stone doors, and then the second one, it's a funeral procession for the same badger gelt.
It's a bit abbreviated to what my player had to memorize as a child.
What?
Sorry, I had a hallucination there. So we approach the thing, I guess. Same stack up outside the door, same as always.
Grandin will, in a similar fashion with the POA room, just push that door open. Is this a single door, not like a double door?
No, it's a double door.
Okay, so Grandin will just, you know, push it open, look inside.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door.
Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You push the double doors open, and in front of you is a long room, the first you've come upon in this compound. There is a long table, 6 chairs on each side. There's adornments, chests, and different chairs strewn all about this room, but they're in disarray, pushed to the side, broken. And there is a large stone throne, and upon it sits a 7-foot-tall Adonis with a raccoon head. He is clothed in...
Stop reading my jerk-off blog.
He is clothed in furs and a very large girdle that holds all the furs together, but his chest is bare and furless.
Like a Tolden? Or just like a weird mishmash of...
There are bits of flesh and skin tone from everything.
Okay.
And it appears that you're gonna say, though, that it appears shaven.
Okay.
This is an act of hubris and presenting.
Hmm.
But he keeps a mane-like tuft.
Hmm.
There are 2 mage hounds on each side. One is distinctly has it just a dog with just a straight-up Tolden face, and it is... disgusting.
Invasions
and it is
snatchers.
Slobbering and just making noises.
Weird human noises. That
noises that are almost, they're almost speech.
It's like, oh,
crazy
God.
Circus music starts to play. Donald Sutherland screams.
And the other one has the face of a shark, but its butt is definitely that of a boar.
Yeah, that boar butt.
We got that guff butt.
I heard the guff and venom butts.
They see us, and it's like there's only one way in with the thing.
The Ascendant Pawa is reading, and he says to you in a loud, booming voice, "I thought I told you I was not to be disturbed."
And then I will say, 1,000 apologies, and I let the doors close. And I look back, and now the doors, do they only open inwards?
Yeah.
Okay, so then...
Fine.
All right, they only open inwards. I'm going to stand there with my shield, and then I'm like, Frixa, What do you suggest? I can stand here all day.
He didn't even look up from his book. You know, this is a bit more than we were betting on. I seem to remember that...
Was it, though?
It was. I wish somebody would have said something.
I was picturing a 50-foot monster. I had no idea what we'd be facing, so...
You know, something a little less intelligent would have been... And if as a 50-foot monster would have been a little less unnerving. I don't know why it's... Spooky.
Well, Captain, I can stand here and probably do well against this door for a bit.
I think that's actually a good idea.
But
Chuki, I seem to remember there being some books near the bed of our last friend we encountered.
Before you can do anything, the double doors are rushed open. And the ascendant this way, and the ascendant paw was just straight up in your face.
Not in my face. I got a shield up.
Give me combat roll.
This is +9 from everybody, I guess.
Yes.
Okay.
This is good though because the mage hounds can't do anything.
28.
15.
Grandin's first. You cannot attack him because he's adjacent to you.
If only I showed up and we could know what a shield bash does.
We came up with some things that it could do.
Let me do... Because he's right up on me, right?
Yes.
So you can't use your spear.
And I can't really fall back because you're behind me immediately.
Yeah.
Yep. Several people deep.
Let me look at this real quick.
You can drop your spear, draw your sword.
As a move action?
You drop as a free, draw as a swift.
Okay, I'm going to do that. So Grandin, because this... Raccoon Adonis is in my face, and it's kind of unexpected because the doors just sort of fling open. Grant is just going to drop the spear to his feet, draw the sword, and he's going to spend 3 momentum.
Ooh.
with Vicious Obstacle.
All right.
Good thing I did, because otherwise that'd be bad. That's 19.
That's a hit.
Okay. So I do weapon plus my strength, 7 damage, and until the end of my next turn, enemies may not move through a space of my choosing, mm-hmm. and it can only that space can only be moved by moving me, or if I fall unconscious, or are knocked down.
All right.
I'm going to choose the space right in front of me that he's standing in, if I can.
Well, no, I don't think you can. It has to be an empty adjacent space.
An empty adjacent space?
Yeah.
I mean, there's no point in him not moving through that.
No.
Can I fall back and then, like, fall into Frick's Domino's Three Stooges style?
Well, okay. How big is this hallway?
It's one hex wide.
It's 3 hexes wide.
Well, the door. The door that I'm
the
in.
The door though. Is one.
Yeah.
Okay. I would say you could pick your own space and then back up.
Okay, I'll pick my own space. He won't move through my space. With a free action, I drop my spear. Swift action, I remove my sword. And I do Vicious Obstacle. And then as my move action, after I hit with Vicious Obstacle, I disengage back 1. So there'll be this empty space between us that no enemies can move through until the end of my next turn.
The Pawa now realizing, the Ascendant Pawa realizing it now can't move forward because you've provided this line of defense, takes in a deep breath and casts Fire Blast. 14, does that hit?
It meets.
Hits Frixa.
Slish?
Nope.
8 damage.
Woof.
Well then, I guess there's nothing stopping me from doing a suppressive fire on the doorway and where the Ascended Pawa is. 11.
Miss.
But that area is difficult terrain.
The Pawa Ascendant looks at Frixa and just decides that he's going to be his victim, and he attempts to drain your life.
Okay.
16.
Hit. Goodbye, everyone.
Dibs.
5 damage.
All right.
And the Ascendant Pawa seems to be
is that
refilled from it.
Is that really bad?
No.
Okay.
Slish. Seeing this Ascendant Pawa is just weirded out by it and wants it to be dead. So he is going to fire rapid fire twice, hoping to hit him in the face. First one, 11.
Miss.
23?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, hit.
All right. For 3 damage.
It's now the Pawa's turn, and He just can't figure out what to do. He tries to move through the square and it just can't do it. I think is it described that it was his shield or his body who just does?
It's more
he's warding the area with his.
Yeah, it's
he
more
just
of
can't
like,
make it through your guarding.
It's like too threatened of a space.
Yeah, and the Mei-Chans do nothing. They can't do anything.
They're bottlenecked between that room doorway and where we are.
So it's Frix's turn.
Frixa, a little miffed that Grandin's politeness didn't win out the day here. Leaving him to his reading. He's like, very well. Well, he can strike through this area with his reach weapon because Grandin isn't warding against his strikes.
Mm-hmm.
So first he's going to reinvigorate himself and cast his shield on himself again.
Whom.
Then he is going to stay where he is, cast Golden Flare on top of his space, which could affect the Pawa as well as our entire group. So, yeah. 8 to hit.
Miss.
Okay. But everybody around us gets 8 health back.
I think you're the only one hit.
No, I was hit.
Then he's going to use his racial ability, Insectoid Efficiency, to get an extra attack action on his turn. Because he didn't use a move action, and this is a swift action to enable this. He is going to use Venom Strike on the Pawa. That is 16 to hit.
Hit.
All right. So it does 2 4s. Lucky. 12 damage.
All right.
And he is envenomed if it is possible.
The cut seems to fester and does not heal.
He is envenomed. And that is the end of Frix's turn.
Now, I drop my spear
in the
threatened space. Could I pick it up?
You would have to move into it, user action.
Into it,
yeah,
and then pick it up.
You can't pick it up adjacent.
I'm only holding my short sword. Well, I'm holding my sword, so I can't really attack with it. So,
well, you can walk into that space again.
True, and it's going to end on that point anyway. All right, yeah, I'm gonna walk back into that space. Got my shield.
You're going to disengage into that space?
disengage because it's a threatened thing or whatever.
I guess you could just walk into it either.
Yeah.
I mean,
if he doesn't have a reach weapon.
Yeah, there's like no whatever. And then I'm gonna do overwhelming strike. Let's just see what happens with roll the dice. Let's hope it's high. 20.
Crit.
Great. So that is 12, 14 damage.
All right.
Dope.
It is the Powwow Ascendant's turn, and he, with all of the strength that is in his body, strikes with his bare fist at Grandin.
He swings and misses because 'cause that 13's not enough.
Well. Again, if there is a clear shot in spite of all my friends being in the way...
You're at a -4 because he is in melee combat.
All right, well, I'm going to attempt Flaming Pillar. 12, then.
Miss.
Great. Splendid.
The Ascendant powers again. He makes another massive strike against you with his fist. 23.
That would hit.
10 damage.
Okay.
Slish.
All right.
Are you planning your retreat?
So while he's figuring this out, I want to kind of describe what we're looking at here. There's this room beyond, but Grandin is taking up the only space in the hallway.
Which is the doorway itself.
Which prevents them from moving into the hallway that we're in. So we've got them bottlenecked, which it puts our range characters at a disadvantage to hit them, but it also really keeps them safe. How do we feel about this? Like, are we comfortable with this?
I like it.
It's certainly not doing me any favors without me spending momentum, which I totally should have done.
Yeah, but would you prioritize?
I would be destroyed by even looking at this thing too directly, so...
That was my thinking, at least, as soon as I realized that it was
I feel like
narrow
this is,
enough.
If this is Grandin's ultimate wish list of how Grandin would like combats to go
yes.
down. It's just
half of my shit is about not letting people get close to people who are adjacent to me. Yeah. And I haven't really used it yet because everyone's range, so they want to get away from me because they want to shoot from range.
So Slish is going to move back his full speed because he has
he's running away.
Well, he has a longbow. He doesn't need to be in the face of the enemy. So after moving, he is going to do rapid fire into the Adonis power. And he is going to, just for shits and giggles, spend one momentum on each.
Introducing some chaos into this. Yes.
Is Frixa adjacent to me, or are you like a space away?
Frixa is adjacent. Okay. Frixa has like his chin against your back.
So 12.
Miss.
With momentum.
With momentum, yeah.
You don't get to make the second strike. You fumble with the arrow, and it just kind of falls to the ground.
All right.
The Powwow Ascendant digs inside of himself, randomly finds some magic, casts Fire Blast. 16.
Hits both.
12 damage.
Ooh.
Even I went, whoa!
All right, Frixa reinvigorates himself. Whom, puts the shield back up. Doesn't want to move from his location. Casts Golden Flare. Casts it atop of Grandin. It's a blast too, so it'll hit Grandin, Frixa, the Ascendant Powwow, and the two Mage Hounds.
All right.
Even the one with the guff butt.
Guff butt.
Does a 9 hit the Mage Hounds?
No.
Okay, so none of them get hit, but Grandin and Frixa heal for 5.
Tolden Face and Guff Butt sounds like a heavy metal band in this universe. All right. Warning Strike against Raccoon Face. I'm going to spend one momentum. 13.
Miss.
Yeah. All right.
You drop your sword.
Yeah. All right. Well,
two weapons on the ground.
Yeah. That's all right. Oh, well, then can I use my move to pick it up?
Yeah. We'll invoke.
Great. That's fine. I'll do that.
That's a hit. Natty 18.
Okay.
4 damage, so...
Okay.
So no one cares. All right, now it's the Powwow's turn. He's going to make another masterful strike. Again, just pure brute strength in his fists. 16.
Yeah, it hits.
7 damage.
Okay. Grandin makes a noise that Frix has not heard him make in a long time. I was going to say more of like, Frix said that... That hurts. What should I do?
Don't falter. You'll be fine.
I don't feel fine.
You'll be fine.
I don't feel fine.
He leans forward a little bit more and whispers in your ear. He's like, "You'll be fine."
Chooky, burn him.
All right, that's what I am going to do. I'm going to use Burning Lance. No more flashy stuff. It always fucking backfires on. I don't know what that is.
That's a mulligan.
All right. All right, I can work with that. 19 plus 2, 21.
Minus 4.
Minus 4.
Still ahead.
Yeah. Great! Great! That's wonderful! Congratulations to me. All right. 6.
Again, you notice magic does not seem to be these guys' friends.
I mean, yeah, I'm all about it. If only my last attacks had worked at any capacity.
The ascendant powers again.
I forgot to do his venom damage at the begin, at the top of the round.
All right,
can I do it now?
Yes.
He takes 4.
All right, that stings pretty good. Makes another because he just cannot get past Grandin. Makes another swing. 18.
Yes.
3 damage.
3 damage. Okay.
All right.
You're gonna shoot him, right? That's
basically all I do.
But you could, do it very well, yeah. And you got with style.
You got a sword. You could drop your most effective weapon and go basically, up and, like, poke him.
Basically, yeah. All I do is miss.
You could, like, regale him with some Wry Skimmer Wit.
Hello, Boston. My EDM group is Skimmer Wit.
Well, he's not moving.
No. Really wants to.
A lot of my things are making sure someone can't move.
I think you keep that in your pocket until Grandin's
not. Yeah, that's
not,
what I'm working on. Yeah.
Grandin's got you handled.
Yeah. I'm
just... We got this shit. On lock.
Yes.
So she's going to just pull out 2 arrows.
All right.
You know. Check
Kevin Costner style.
Yeah. Rip the fletching off one side, put them together, put them both on his bow. 13.
Miss. 14, right?
No, it's just 11.
11 plus 1, it would be 12.
Miss. The Ascendant Pawa digs deep into himself. And a beam of holy energy erupts from him through Grandin, Frixa, and Shuki.
What?
It beams straight out like a ray.
Like a ray.
Coming at you like a beam, like a ray.
6? Anyone? 6 in
there? 6. Oh, it tickles.
6 is good. 6.
It reaches Frixa, and it just hits him in the carapace and goes, oh, yes.
It just diffuses off my shield or something.
How did you know I right. love that? We're about to be good friends, I can tell. You two dig up dinosaurs?
Dinosaurs?
All right. Frixa's turn. Right?
You guys remember Michael Crichton?
Okay. Frixa, absorbing that bit of holy energy, he's like, let me return the favor. And Golden Flare on top of Grandin. That is a 18 to hit.
Hit.
The Pawa Ascendant. This fucking ripped-ass raccoon.
This is the first creature I'm like, yeah, you could write Slasher. Think about this.
And speaking of ripped asses, the guff butt dog. I have to cut that out. And what's the other dog look like?
Oh, he's got a Tolden face.
He's got a Tolden face? Okay, so as this, to do the Golden Flare, like Donald Sutherland at the end of Body Snatchers, sees him, raises a finger, and goes, it drops the Golden Flare on top of Grandin.
Sounds like a cicada. Just
so it hits all 3 of them, does 7 damage to all of them.
Jeez.
Grandin and Frixa receive 7 health. And as a swift action, whom. Puts a shield on Grandin.
Thank you. Grandin just got a little extra health, feeling pretty good about it. Knows Frix has got his back. So Grandin thinks, well, we've got this guy where we want him. I'm going to try and hit him really hard. I got my spear back, feeling pretty good about that. I'm going to go for one of the mage hounds. What's the number one? That's the Tolden butt.
That is the Tolden face.
I am definitely going for the Tolden face.
Has he got a mustache?
Freaky. Let's go with yes.
So right. I'm going to spend 1 momentum.
Okay.
And I'm doing overwhelming strike. That's a critical hit.
However, you are incurring attack of opportunity.
That's fine.
Really?
Not from melee.
That's odd.
Well, what do you think? If somebody's inside your range and you make an attack, you have to have the upper hand, right?
It still seems like you'd have to make a huge thrust. You'd be open.
It's not a bad point. Yeah. Yeah, let's count it. Let's talk about it next session.
All right. 14 damage on Tolden face.
Tolden face is not looking good.
Well, that was quick.
How much damage did you do?
14 damage.
Holy shit. Yeah.
It's
a one-handed weapon?
All right, it's the Ascendant Paw's turn. He's real mad at you now. You his dog.
He hit my bird and my bug.
So? he's gonna reach deep down inside himself.
The B team.
And he does another fire blast. 16.
Okay.
That hits both. Oh, but we're both shielded.
13 damage.
Okay.
To both?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to use my burning lance and see if I can cut him down a peg.
13 damage hurt.
Oh, 18 plus 2 at least.
Still hits.
Great. 9.
He's looking injured now.
Ooh.
Does that have a splash effect?
I don't believe so.
I think it does.
Well, okie dokie. It does, in fact. On hit, each enemy adjacent to the target takes damage equal to your composure. So 3 damage to the hounds.
So I forgot to, again, add venom damage.
All right.
At the top of the round. And it goes again. How do you feel about this venom damage? Can I get some luck from everybody else? Okay, here we go. 3!
All right, the Ascendant Power again is realizing that magic is the only thing that seems to be working on you. Just can't get through your armor. Picks a spell at random, and he attempts to push you with sheer force. Jedi mind trick force push.
Oh, it's like a mind push?
But he critically fails, goes right over your head, it digs itself into the wall, and like some dust falls on you.
I just go, ooh.
That was a natty one, everybody.
Yeah.
So, hey, so you've been doing something this whole fight that we haven't talked about. That can you explain what you're doing every time on his turn?
Whenever I cast magic, I roll a 1d6, and it decides what spell he casts.
It's fun. So he's kind of like a wild mage.
Yeah, chaotic. Yeah.
So would you interpret this as, like, because this body has been built to do all this crazy nonsense, is this power brain, however augmented, really even capable of being like, I'm going to make these decisions tactfully, or is it like, I'm random?
He was reading a book.
What was it? Was it Hop on Pop? I mean, we don't know what it was.
But
do not disturb me.
body magic is super inherent, and it's a thing that you're born with and that you can develop, and you can develop later in life through trauma or experience.
Mm-hmm.
This has kind of been thrust upon him, so it's an inherited power.
Right.
So he doesn't have full control of
it. Okay. Groovy.
One tough guff.
Oh, so you met Kelton.
Yeah. It's an autobiography.
You know Detective Dr. Professor Kelton Mandergrove.
Esquire.
This book is riveting. Do not distract me. He is a private eye. Did
oh, no,
you know
I can't,
this?
I cannot wait till you actually find the book that guy's reading.
Dr. Professor turned private eye.
His little raccoon face reading the book with Adonis muscles. Like powdered toast man with a raccoon face.
Yeah, no, that's pretty accurate.
It's are you my mother?
You are not my mother. You are a snort.
Still thinking of reading fucking books.
Yes.
It is so silly.
He's just trying not to rip the page in half. Slish is going to use suppressive fire on the Powa and the 2 mage hounds. It is
okay.
A burst 2 within 10. And I'm going to spend 3 momentum on that roll.
That's a crack die.
Yeah, mulligan.
Fuck.
Yeah, that hits.
No, what is
two,
the total?
2 sixes.
3 sixes.
On his momentum. Oh, it's 3 sixes?
Six.
Tight.
Suppressive fire, he fires randomly, and that gives me 1d4 plus intelligence. So that's 4 on the far mage hound. 5.
The Tolden face?
Yes. With a nice commanding mustache.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. 5 on the Ascended Power.
Okay.
And then 4 on the butt face.
All right.
Duck butt.
Duck butt.
Guff butt or Tolden face. Butt face. Yeah. He's got a butt for a face. It's a Tolden butt. You're pretty sure.
When it barks,
it's Assy McGee.
It's Assy McGee.
The Ascendant Power again reaches into himself to cast a random spell. 6.
Fuck.
That's force. 21.
Against whom?
Against Grannon.
Yeah.
Okay. That's
the only one he can hit. You were pushed 3 squares backwards.
Oh, shit. Push past Frixa.
Uh-oh. Cork's out of the bottle, boys.
Frontline fighter here.
All right. Finally being able to act.
Its movement speed is halved, though.
Yeah. The Tolden-faced mage hound moves in next to Frixa.
It's terrifying. It says bark, bark, bark. This is the most terrifying
thing. Does 17 hit?
Against who?
Against Frixa.
Does he takes an attack of opportunity before.
Okay.
Because he has to move through two threatened squares, but I can only hit once. Pray that I miss. That is a 11. No, sorry, 10.
Miss.
Yes.
Oh, well, well, well.
And as he's running in and I miss, I go, Chucky Slish, please help your master.
It's not ideal. I don't think this is going to happen. 8.
Miss.
16.
Hit.
16 damage.
It is dead.
Yes.
Oof.
Oh, what a world. What a world.
It just says, thank you.
All right. Oh, Nichan.
Frixa, you already used your attack of opportunity, I believe.
Yes.
And now this one's going to take a bite at you.
It's the one with the guff butt.
This is guff butt.
Runs through the doorway.
10. Or no, 9.
9 does not hit Frixa.
All right. Now it is Frixa's turn.
All right, Frixa. After missing an attack on the mage hound with the human Tolden face and watching Slish take it out, disengages away from the new one with the guff butt to get in range of his spear and uses sweep the leg. 7 to hit?
No, that does not hit.
Damn. Okay. Invigorates Grandin.
Grandin, it's your turn.
All right, I'm going to move up. Grandin was knocked back. Saw the Tolden face monster run in and that it was killed really quickly. The guff butt monster runs in and is taking his just fighting Frixa and
farting Frixa's, the whole time.
And Frixa's trying to take care of it, but just been invigorated again. Grandin's going to take that opportunity to get back and try and stop this raccoon face monster from coming down the hall again. So he's going to get within spear distance. He's going to spend. Fuck it. I'm going to spend 3 momentum. And I'm going to do my vicious obstacle again. That's 12, 22.
Hits.
Great. So now I'm going to do my damage, which is this. 6 damage. And, of course, the square right in front of me, I don't want him to move through.
All right, so he's effectively blocked the entrance again.
Yeah.
And that...
You prick.
That Rick.
That's my job. It's the only time I've been able to use this the entire campaign.
That raccoon Adonis cannot move through. The dogs can.
Well, the dog's already in with us.
Yeah.
Power Ascendant tries to cast a spell again. This time, frost erupts from his mouth. 14 hit anyone? It's a cone 3, so it only hits Grandin.
Okay.
And
that meets my thing.
Oh, it does?
Yeah.
Okay, so.
So yeah. If it meets, it hits, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
7 damage. Okay. And you are slowed.
Okay.
So half speed?
I'm just half speed.
Right. Now it's the...
And now that my invigorate is gone.
Right? Oh, thank you for reminding me.
Chuki, it is your turn.
All right. I'm going to spend some momentum and do a Burning Lance. Quick question.
Yes.
Can you also spend momentum towards damage, or is it just for casting?
Just for casting. Just to hit.
Okay.
Or for any time you're going to roll a d20 to resolve something. So if you had a skill check, like you wanted to climb something, you'd spend momentum.
Okay. And I would use... It's a 1-to-1, right? So I'm just, like, potentially buffing a failed roll, basically. I'm going to spend 6 momentum.
Jesus!
Which is... I mean, I've...
Holy...
She's got a lot.
Shit.
That's a lot. That's a lot of momentum.
I have 40 momentum. It's like, if I don't spend it now, what am I going to do with it?
You could level up.
You could level up.
What?
You can level up.
Oh.
During encounters, by the way.
Shut the fuck up. I mean, you probably told me that, but it's been weeks, so...
Would you like to pick something new off the menu?
It's, you know, it's late, but...
Double fire. Let's explore this right now.
So we shouldn't... we just have a straight-up mechanics, like, you can spend 30 momentum at any time, but in combat, only on your turn, to level up.
Okay.
And leveling up, you take a step down a path. Your health increases by the amount that increases for that path. And not in this campaign, but in the future ones, your damage for everything will also increase. But you get... Okay, so... Or you could do step 1 down any other path.
I feel that it's... it would be advantageous at this moment in time to work with what I know and indulge in the flame that's in my heart in the fullest sense possible.
Yeah, and to see bust out some new move, we'd all be like, Jesus Christ! Like, just...
I mean, I must prove myself here. Am I or am I not worthy of my mother's hat?
This bird cooks.
There's a lot riding on this, and it seems like we have everything well at hand, but Chuki is... She sees that hat on Frix's head, and she's ready to show that she can take on any obstacle by herself. So, as she builds flames in her talons, something else unlocks. The flames grow bright white, and something happens. Her momentum feels like it capsizes into her and erupts out from her. I spend 30 momentum, and I take a step down the fire path. Step 2.
So what Chuki gets at step 2, she gets a feature called Pyroclasm, where after damaging multiple enemies with fire on her turn, she can add an additional D8 to enemies hit on the following turn.
What?
That's ridiculous.
You get a daily attack called Rogue Star. A sphere of superheated plasma visible for miles around descends from above, annihilating all it touches. On hit, each enemy adjacent to the target takes an amount of fire damage augmented by the amount of composure that you have. So, damage-wise, it's 3d10.
What? This is too good!
Adjacent enemies take a d6 for every point in composure that you have.
So right now that'd be 3 composure?
Yeah,
there's no one adjacent, but
in theory.
Yeah. Wow, all right. So now that I've done that, do I wait a turn to cool down?
Nope.
You can cast it right now.
You're having an epiphany
this
in this moment.
This is a Super Saiyan moment.
All right. Rogue Star, somehow, I don't know where this plasma coalesces from above it when you were in this...
Magic.
Just landed in his space.
Yeah, but either way, this shining golden raccoon-headed fool is getting smashed by...
I didn't say golden, but now it is. His head is now golden.
I want to stress that last turn, Chuki hit the 2 enemies with splash damage, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That counts for Pyroclasm.
Yes, it does.
Your feature.
Wait, but I did not land on cover fire.
That's okay.
Oh.
It was your turn specifically.
Right now you have a +2 to hit, and you have a floating D8 of damage to add to this.
Well, I better... First I got to make my roll to begin with. So.
+3d6.
16.
Okay.
So that hits.
That does hit.
Okay.
That's a natural 16. So
that's
you just spent 20, that 3 momentum.
Yeah, that's 20. I think well, that's
it was,
easy.
It was a safe bet to make sure that it landed.
Absolutely. Add a D8.
It's ridiculous.
Plus your composure.
Okay. Okay, so 12, 16...
21.
19. Thank you, Doug.
21 damage.
21 damage.
Also? As it hits his flesh, it just, again, every time you hit him with your fire magic, it just seems to sear into his skin much more than it should.
Beautiful.
Chuki, good job.
Chuki cracks her neck and says, "All in the line of business, me old bug."
It's now the Ascendant Pawa's turn.
And he takes venom damage.
Yes, he does.
1.
Oh, and it kills him.
See, Chuki, I'm useful too.
His flesh has been seared.
What does it smell like?
Chunks of fur are missing. Actually, like bacon, like frying bacon.
Oh, that's nice. Mm.
And now his muscles begin to rip and kind of spread and condense again. And it seems like his body is reforming itself and strengthening itself around his frame. He can't move, so he gets ready to cast magic again. This is another ice blast.
Who is it hitting?
This is targeting Grandin and you. Actually, no, just Grandin. 12? Nope. Poop.
Bahama shield.
All right. So this is going to do a little bit more of that rapid fire. Aiming at the living mage hound.
All right.
With the guff butt.
Yes.
Guff butt mage hound.
And not taking any penalties because he is not engaged with anybody. All right. Myths. That's a 7. 17.
Hit.
7 damage on the mage hound.
Mage hound is looking a little weary.
I just want to Cap, that was fucking awesome.
Yeah. Very good.
Speaking of which, +2 momentum.
Oh, well, that's a helpful thing. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm.
The mage hound, being just balls terrified to be away from its master.
Balls terrified.
Disengages towards Phryxa and tries to take a chunk out. 18?
18 hits.
8 damage.
8 damage. Okay. All right.
Now it's the Ascendant Pawa's turn. Can only do one thing. So we just keep on casting. Another Ice Blast. 11.
No, does right. not hit.
Phryxa's turn.
Ooh, Phryxa's mad. Phryxa saw Chuki do some badass shit, and then he got hit, and he's not feeling good. He's like, okay, all right. Disengages sideways away from the guffbutt mage hound and says, very well, and drops a golden flare, spending 2 momentum in an area that will affect Grandin, Phryxa, and then hopefully will damage the mage hound and the Pawa Ascendant. So, I mean, I'm at 22 yeah, before I count my bonus. Okay. 22 to hit. That hits all of them, and it heals Phryxa and Grandin for 7 health, and deals 7 damage to the Mage Hound.
Mage Hound is looking super rough.
And you notice that he took special exception to the Ascendant Pawa, and as the blast comes out from this golden flare and hits the Pawa, a extra bolt of light strikes him. In total, he takes 31 points of damage.
Jesus!
Spends his retribution again, score.
That attack seems to be more effective than you believe the amount of oomph you put behind it.
And as his remaining swift action, Wum reinvigorates himself.
The Senpa was looking very, very rough. But it's Grandin's turn.
Okay. Grandin's not too worried about the guffbutt dog. But knowing that he can only hold this space, you know, for so long before this Ascendant Poa is going to come marching through, he wants to make sure that the Poa stays focused on him, because he just got some health back. He's feeling really good, so he's going to just do a warning strike to make sure the focus stays on him. 15. Oh, wait, what am I saying?
It's higher than that, and yeah, also that hits.
Okay, great. So now I do 5 damage.
All right, so and he is warded.
I keep my weapon aimed at him, and if he attacks an ally or disengages, it invokes an opportunity attack from me.
Right. Hell yes.
He moves forward.
Okay.
Which invokes.
Right.
Does it?
Yeah, he moved out of a threatened square.
I can't hit him, though, because he moved into my
he
space.
He moved through it, though. You can attack with
as he moves in? Yeah. Okay, so I'll do that real quick.
As he leaves the one he was in.
Yeah. 13?
Miss.
Okay.
Yes! Yeah.
Let us do some fangs.
Cover fire!
A 12.
Miss.
Also a 12.
Miss.
Ugh, damn.
He's taking both hands,
mm-hmm.
trying to club you with him. 10.
Like over his head,
yeah,
double fist?
Over. And then he's going to try and cast in your face, but you don't have your short sword drawn. And a ray comes out and attacks Phryxa and Chuki. 23
now, hits.
In attacking them, it invokes another attack.
You don't you have a reach weapon.
Right. But if I didn't, it would.
Yes.
Right.
11 points of damage.
All right.
Ouch.
It's now Chuki's turn.
And I'm at 13 health. I'm going to use a Burning Lance. I rolled a 19.
That is a hit. I'm guessing you're Pawa Ascendant?
Yes. Oh.
Minimum?
Roll the 1, yes. It's a 4.
The Pawa Ascendant is on his last legs. But it is his turn. Making another...
Oh! Before he does, he takes Venom damage.
All right.
3.
Dies.
Yay!
I just broke this chair. I broke the back on it.
We still got Guffbutt to worry about.
Oh, okay. Guffbutt is healing now. His master just died, so he's just, like, not doing anything.
I'm still going to shoot at him.
All right, shoot him. It is your turn.
Rapid fire.
By the way, that was
Guffbutt.
Exactly.
Yes!
That was awesome. Can you describe how he goes down real quick?
Me? I think it was venom 50, damage.
Yeah. It was like poison. Poison runs through his veins, and it finally gets to his heart, and his heart just stops.
Oh, most importantly, it looks like Chuki did it. I just did the last thing.
That's true. He got hit, and then he just suddenly clutches his chest.
the fire in my chest. My beautiful muscles.
12 on the main hand.
Oh, that's it's so dead. Look at that.
19.
That is so much damage.
19 damage?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah. That's a crit. He natty critted.
I think you pinned the dog against a wall.
12. Yeah. 4. Plus
all right. The ascendant Pawa has hit the ground, poison flowing in through his heart and stopping it. Slish takes out the last mage hound, and now, with his last guttural breaths, he curses at you. And you'll find out what he says on the next episode of Agnes's Ashes.
Ah. All right. Thank you. That was good, Liam. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We were having such a good time doing Agnes's Ashes and playing this game that you guys are helping us make. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate each and every one of you. And if you want to interact with us, the easiest way is on our Patreon at patreon.com/RPGFS. Everything we post, you can comment on, even if you're not a patron. But if you are a patron, there's a lot of good stuff. At the $1 tier, you get our cutting room floor, which is a lot of just blue humor, off-the-cuff stuff that we've cut out of the episodes because it's not relevant to gaming. At $2, you get all the character sheets. You can make your own characters. You can play with your friends. At the $5 tier, you get all the rule books that we come out with as we come out with them. And you can give feedback on them. If there's anything you want to see, please let us know. But at the $10 tier, that's where the real meat of the package is, because you get to create an NPC that will appear in our actual play campaigns. And if you are a longtime listener, you'll know that we've gotten some pretty good mileage out of some of them.
You can find us on facebook.com/RPGFS.
And you can find us on Instagram at RPG From Scratch, all one word.
And you can find us at Twitter at Homebrew Hombres.
And you can find me at Cat Blackard basically everywhere. And I just want to take this moment to say that this is a damn fun game. And if you're one of the chosen few listening, you are most assuredly of the chosen few, my darlings. So you must do everything in your power if you love this show to spread the word. Let us not let RPG From Scratch languish in obscurity. Let's make sure that the fine, actual play adoring audiences of the podcast diverse know their name far and wide. So please do rate and review on iTunes, Podchaser, and most importantly, spread the word. Post it to Reddit, post it everywhere you can. Thanks so much.
And with that word from the matriarch of Nerdy Show herself, we want you to stay safe, stand watch, and get a full rest.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.